we hope. Let me say regarding the picture board that there was a guy who looked just like me at the men's retreat. You know, we've spent some time in services really since the end of August looking on occasion at different aspects of our congregational life, religious education in the end of August, last week our Thai groups, this week a men's retreat. And there's a trick to this, which is how to lift up these aspects of the community that so enrich us, even in the case of something like this, where two-thirds of you couldn't even go. And many men are present who didn't. Some folks are here for the first time. Why should you care? Fair question. But as with those other instances, what I hope is by looking closely at a piece of our life together, we can help unfold the whole and how our principles, how our values, how our goals as spiritual beings manifest in all of these different ways. If we consider what the men of UUCSR want and need, maybe we'll learn something that can help with the other men in our lives, more importantly, with the boys that we are charged to raise. So we'll look closely. Of course, I have huge challenges personally when we come to this particular topic of what it means to be a man. As Andy mentioned in his prayer, that turns out to be a considerably more confusing topic than it seems. On the one hand, it just seems self-evident, and yet there are huge challenges when we start wanting to say anything broadly about one gender or another. We're a people who treasure the unique individuality of every person. Why would we want to start to sort into these very broad categories? Most of us here have been longing for that new manifestation, that new hour, for egalitarianism and equality in every way in our relationships, and particularly between men and women. And so I'm nervous if we start talking with these categories, we'll end up speaking about something that doesn't actually relate to our real and individual lives. We'll talk about the role of man or the expectations of men. But the fact is, this is something, these differences, these perceived, these real, these imaginary differences between men and women are something we have to work with all the time. Now, again, maybe it's wrong. Maybe we shouldn't separate or segregate at all. And yet I observe that even the most egalitarian group of people I personally know, which is you, still like to take time to have the women go over there, catch some bliss, put on some crazy costumes, which we've not matched you on yet. Next year, Andy says, and men over here. And I have to admit for myself that even raised by a feminist mom, primarily, with a very egalitarian and equitable vision of how the sexes, the genders should be, what I was surprised by myself is how much I enjoyed, how much I needed, in fact, being with just a group of men. Now, some of our differences are very plain, but they're maybe not the ones that we grapple with the most. Our bodies clearly are different, although even here, there are people who are intersex or hermaphrodite or find themselves blurring these boundaries that we like to set up for ourselves. But for the most part, if we put two naked people up here on the chancel, we would be able to tell who's a man and a woman. And if we watched them through a process of creating and giving birth to life, some of those differences and what they have to bear and the way they shape our behavior would probably become fairly apparent. But that's not an easy answer, actually, because it turns out our brains, in spite of the desire to extend those obvious physical differences into clear-cut differences between our minds and our brains, lots of science done on that, all from this perspective of evolutionary psychology. Why are we different? Maybe it has something to do with how we evolved, the men all out there in the field trying to kill some water buffalo, the women making baskets or something and sitting in a circle. Somehow that changed our brains, the differences in hormones. The fact of the matter is, with all of that science, if I'm going to turn there to try and figure out what's a man, who am I, who should I be, I'm not going to find any satisfaction. There was a book last year, an important book called Delusions of Gender by Cordelia Fine, who reviewed all of the neurological studies that were trying to establish these really clear differences between men and women. And the science is dubious at best. What is likely occurring is the thing that occurs all the time as we live with our perceived, real, and imagined differences, is that the scientists very often are making assumptions themselves about the boys and girls that they're studying, that cultural factors even shape the design of the studies. So again, it's not that there are no differences, it's not that those things are unimportant, but if we're trying to, you know, to take from them some prescriptive mode of who we are or who we should be, either as men or women, we may very well leave that study unsatisfied. One final note with these differences that we have. There's a member of our broader community right now who is experiencing a shift in her gender identity into his gender identity. And so not just a person who is physically in between calls these things into question, but what of a person whose inner world, who was given a female brain, but who feels male within? Most of us, when we think, I am a man, that's actually something we're speaking of out of here, not there. And so I'm left wondering again, what is that thing that I want to know and feel secure in if it's so fluid that it can even live in what I would recognize as a woman's body? Remarkable. Now, I think that fluidity and that freedom maybe ultimately is something quite good for us, that it keeps us loose and keeps us from exacerbating the differences between us in the ways that for centuries were very harmful, where egalitarianism and equality were not even an option. So there are differences, but we don't know how much are innate, and the ones that we think are innate might not be nearly as innate as we think, and even when they do find differences in the way a little extra testosterone makes you do this or that, between any one of us men or one of us women, those differences would be completely negligible. There's likely to be more difference between my brain and Max than there is between mine and Sybil's, depending. You just don't know. We'd have to look and see. So how do we talk about something? How do we work with it? How do we find that identity, if it matters to us, about something that is both real and not at all real? Something that's culturally created, societally maintained, but that thus still exerts an incredibly powerful influence on us. We cannot help but escape, but live under the influence of what our culture and our society tell us a man ought to be or a woman ought to be. And if you don't like what that is, it can lead to a lot of confusion, a lot of woe. I know for myself, even though I'm a leader of a large and wonderful institution, got a good education, when I get together with some of the other members of this Leadership Santa Rosa group that I'm a part of, who are firefighters and police officers and a former Cal Bears fullback, right? Something in here with me feels intimidated, feels nervous, worries that, like, if we disagree, that guy's going to punch me and I'm in trouble, you know, if that happens. And I mean, that's like the gut feeling, even though I know those guys, they're not going to punch me. He's a cop. It's against the law for him to punch me, you know. And yet, because man, manly, macho, masculine leans more in that direction through our centuries and through pop culture of today. That is in me and inescapable. Even at the same time, I have a competitive nature, I've spoken of this before, which I don't think I've ever actually allowed to fully blossom, you know, to really, what would it mean to put myself up in some kind of competition, physical, whatever it would be, mental, really put that to the test in some way. And partly, again, it's because of a mom who didn't feel it very much. And also because when one begins to tread the spiritual path, as I did many years ago, well before I had a chance to work on my fastball or anything like that, the examples that were given often defy the standard of masculinity. It's hard to imagine Buddha throwing an elbow when he's guarding the post against the disciples in a really intense basketball game, right? You know? You just don't see it. Or Jesus really trying to beat you in chess, right? So on the one hand, I'm relieved that I have other examples, but I'm still living in the shadow of ones that I don't know what to do with. And somebody said after the first service, there's even in many men a kind of longing for a simpler time, maybe when these roles were more clear. Even though we know that the society that manifested was not one that we want to live in. So how do we be men truly? How do we women truly? Maybe the question really is, how do we be human beings? At the retreat, though, I lifted up the word manly, because it's a word that actually appears in the writings of many of the great Unitarian ministers of the 1800s when they were effecting this revolution of trying to get religion out of its literalist past and trying to bring the work of building the kingdom of heaven into this world through social action and social reform. Those deeds were called by Channing and James Freeman Clark and others manly. And when I asked the gents at the retreat, who do you think of as when you think the word manly? I think Governor Schwarzenegger popped into everybody's mind, right? You know, I mean, just like for the stereotype, there it is. Cigar, Hummer, right? But Channing was like this big. And here he's telling not only the men and women of his day, but us to be manly and lifted up as I might people like Jesus instead as what the perfect man would be. Not at all our stereotypes. Not at all violence, aggression, swagger. But humility, generosity, and perhaps the greatest and bravest gift of all, giving up your lives for other people. They were speaking of adventure and heroism and chivalry and bold action, words that perhaps stir a man's heart to this day. Only what they meant, Channing and our ilk, when they told us to be manly, was to heal the world, to love it, to lift up others, to be brave and strong enough to let women take their equal place. And I think we men today, we still want to feel full of that power that perhaps was more overtly and unjustly granted to us in the past, but we know it doesn't want to be violent or intimidating. It should be helpful and healing and transforming. And the good news, perhaps, the good news of a time where that new manifestation is still coming to be, where we are still sorting out all of this confusion, where I'm still trying to figure it out myself, is that although that leaves us feeling lost, what it means, what it indicates, is that we are free. We can be the men we want to be. That would be perhaps the manliest thing of all, claiming it for ourselves. Throw the Hummer out! We want to be servants of the world, gentle, sharing, strong. And I'll tell you, given the burdens that many men live under, particularly of an earlier generation, when you're sitting in a circle with a 70-year-old guy and he says, you know, I don't think I ever told anybody that. That's as brave as any act can be. The rub is that it took place in relationship, and that might be the lesson of all these bits and pieces of our common life together, when we're teaching our children, when we're together in tie groups, when we're volunteering at the breakfast or any other thing, when the men are getting together. Though we are free to define ourselves, and we hold that right as individuals forever, we also know that the truth of who we really are is revealed in community. It's revealed in relationship. It's revealed in the mirror of each other's eyes. So if we can be the men we want to be, that means we can create the future for our boys that we want and for the men of this congregation. Perhaps our work together with men's groups and our volunteerism, our retreats, perhaps that is only beginning. Perhaps that adventure, that manly adventure, is just underway. As long as it takes place in relationship in that web of community, I have enormous faith that it will answer those questions for us. If we stay together, keeping the circle unbroken, men and women, we will find our way. May it be so. We're going to sing for you.